Welcome. This is American Public Media's Future Tense, public radio's daily journal of the digital age.
Keeping up with identity theft scams. This is Future Tense. I'm Art Hughes, in for John Gordon. Identity theft complaints to the Federal Trade Commission shot up 52% between 2002 and 2004. And a report out this week by the nonprofit Identity Theft Resource Center finds the average time an identity theft victim spends trying to repair the damage is 330 hours. Chicago-based internet security consultant Jack Vonderhyde speaks to corporate employees about possible threats. He says it takes work to keep up with phishing, farming, and phone scams.
Phishing has evolved from a hobby into an art form, and it's becoming much more sophisticated. We're now seeing phishing emails that are under the guise of customer satisfaction surveys, where individuals are asked to evaluate the performance of the bank in many different areas, and then at the end, they're told that they're going to receive a cash award, and they're asked for an account number to deposit this cash award. So it kind of puts the person at ease in terms of giving up the personal data. One of the things we're starting to see in Minnesota, which is kind of alarming, is another form of identity theft where an individual will call a citizen at home and they will pretend to be from the local court and they will be very angry and they will notify the person that an arrest warrant has been issued for them because they failed to show up for jury duty. This immediately alarms the individual. They say, I never got a summons for jury duty. And the person says, well, our records show that you did. Let me double check. What's your Social Security number? The person immediately gives the Social Security number because their heart is racing. They're thinking they're going to jail. What's your date of birth? What's your address? Oh, I'm sorry. There was an error. It was never sent. Our mistake. We'll remove the arrest warrant.
How do you protect yourself there? That's a very sophisticated approach.
The first thing you do is ask them for their name, what department they're with, and for their phone number. Tell them then that you will call them back. Then go to your phone book or call directory assistance and ask for the number of the court. Then ask for the Human Resources Department, verify that this individual is indeed an employee. In essence, do your own checking. You've got to be ready for these situations, rehearse them in your mind, and you'll be better off when they do happen.
Are there others out there that might pose a threat?
There was a judge, I believe it was in Dakota County, who made a ruling that was unpalatable to the person it was made against. So as revenge, the individual sent the judge and several employees of the court invoices for $300,000 for damage to reputation. And of course, the judge and the other court employees threw them in the garbage. The individual then filed personal liens against the judge and the members of the court. The way liens work is they immediately go on an individual's credit report, and it took the judge and the court employees almost a year to get this cleaned up, but that was a case where the public record system was abused. So what I advise individuals to do is at the beginning of the year, get your Experian report. 4 months later, get your Equifax report. And 4 months later, get your TransUnion report. And keep following that every four-month cycle. You then get three credit reports at no charge every year. And you can then keep an eye on your credit report.
Consultant Jack Vonderhyde. He is in Minneapolis speaking to clients and employees of wealth management company U.S. Trust. People looking for ideas to protect against phishing and other scams can find links to the Identity Theft Resource Center and the Anti-Phishing Working Group on our website, futuretenseweb.org. This is Future Tense. I'm Art Hughes.